Strange Days Indeed continues with Errol Bruce Knapp on UFO News Radio, CFRB 1010.
Program 240 of these Strange Days Indeed, and as I keep saying, they certainly don't become any stranger than they are at this time, at this very moment on this station and across the web. Our guest is Stan Romanek. Before the break, you were talking about being severely dyslexic and yet having equations come to you.
Yes.
And
in fact, when I saw the equations, I was just, if it wasn't for Deborah Lindemann forcing me to keep them because she knew the importance of them, I didn't. I was going to throw them away.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what they were.
They ended up in Jack Kasher's hands.
Well, first, Deborah talked to a gentleman by the name of Al Putoff and Bernie Hesch, which I guess are some of the top physicists in the world.
Yes.
And then they got to Dr. Kasher. And Dr. Kasher, oddly enough, used to be the head of the physics department at the University of Nebraska, just pretty much miles away from where I live. And they determined that this is very important stuff, stuff that nobody really has. And if they did have, not something you can readily get, supposedly.
The equations made sense to them.
Oh, they did, in some profound ways, I guess. And I'm not really into the math thing. It was interesting because I did something called the UFO Congress.
In Laughlin, Nevada, yes.
Laughlin, Nevada. And Deborah was there, I was there, Dr. Cash was there, and Dana Tebold. They were doing a talk on my experiences. And Dr. Cash actually went on record to let people know how amazing this was. And, you know, I guess that says something. I would have never got the guts to do anything like
mm-hmm.
that.
Now, it seems to me, just to go back a moment, on the website that tells your story, there was physical trace evidence outside of your home.
I had actually woken up, it was November 17th, actually, 2002, it was last November. I woke up outside 3 o'clock in the morning. Can't figure out how I got outside. All the doors were locked. It's nearly impossible to get outside unless you have a key. I was actually woke up outside in my underwear next to a tree, and it was about 20 degrees outside. And I had this gut-wrenching pain in my side, and I was very sick to my stomach. I had to climb on gas meter, outside our bedroom window to knock on the bedroom window to have my wife let me in. And when she let me in, she kind of gave me a hug, and then she started crying. She goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry it's happened again." And I had some fresh scoop marks in my back, and one of them was deep enough you could put your pinky halfway down to the nail into this scoop mark. And I was actually holding something in my hand, and I didn't know I was holding something in my hand except for the fact that I was really sick to my stomach and I was going to throw up. And when I brought my hand to my mouth, my hand was clenched, my fist was clenched. I opened my hand and there was this stuff in my hand. I have no idea where it came from. I don't remember what happened that night whatsoever. I put the stuff on the counter, went and threw up. It was like I was throwing up window cleaner or something. Really bizarre.
Window cleaner?
That's the, you know how window cleaner smells?
Yeah, it smells of ammonia, I guess, huh?
Some kind of weird something
mm-hmm.
I was throwing up. But in any case, that next morning, we got up. We couldn't sleep very well, but when we did sleep, we eventually woke up about 8 o'clock in the morning, and outside next to our garage was a perfect circle burned into our grass. Exactly 11 foot by 11 foot by 11 foot all the way around. And all the grass inside of it was actually laid down in a counterclockwise rotation, and it was like singed. And then the grass started dying. And that's when Dr. Levengood got involved. And then eventually Nancy Talbot got involved, and they've done tests of stuff that was in my hand, and then they've done tests on the grass, and they're all just pretty much blown away. They can't explain any of it so far.
What was the stuff in your hand? Was it metal? Was it a composite?
It's kind of still up in the air. They're not really sure. At first they thought it was something called eulatite. It's a very rare mineral, but then Nancy said it's not eulatite. They're not quite sure. We're still kind of waiting for the results. We just got the preliminaries in.
Do you have some samples of that in your possession still?
I do.
Because Nick Balaskas, a contributor to this program, is plugged into the University Researchers Network here in Canada, and there's an electron microscope at York University which Nick can look at stuff such as you have. And if you'd like a second opinion on that, that can be set up too.
Oh, that would be marvelous. I know that they've done a lot of testing already, and we're just kind of waiting for the main result. And Nancy's got some more samples from that area that died in my grass. Everything's being sent off to all these different people. You know, and it's amazing. There's literally an army of scientists, like Jeffrey Sanios did analysis on my video, Dr. Bob Nathan, Bruce McAbee saw my video. I've been working with Deborah Lindemann and John Mack and Nancy Talbot and all these people. And you know what? They've been absolutely wonderful.
And well-respected names in this field, too.
Yeah, they've been very, very helpful. And with this terrifying situation that we're going through, they've really been awesome.
There are pictures of, what is it, a magnetometer? On the website that we're all looking at here in studio, and I imagine a lot of people out there who are listening to us now are doing the same thing. There were measurements made in that burnt area, outside the burnt area. Where were the measurements taken, and what sort of results were there?
There were all kinds of measurements. They've determined with the soil samples that whatever it was had an intense electromagnetic field, and it shows up in the soil samples. The soil samples themselves, interesting enough, if you take the soil samples outside of the circle, it will grow seeds at a normal rate. The soil samples on the inside of a circle grow seeds at a 50% faster rate. And I don't know exactly what test Dr. Levengood did this stuff, but he explains that the object was a large object that had come close, but maybe not landed in that area, and I can't explain it exactly. I'm just kind of trying to quote from memory what I read, in that it had picked up something from the ionosphere. I guess there's some kind of particles that you can get as you're coming into the Earth's atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It actually distributed some of the things that they saw in the soil samples was this element that you pick up in the ionosphere that was distributed into the soil. And pretty bizarre, amazing stuff, and everybody's kind of dumbfounded the results of all this.
And that's not a natural thing in the concentration that it was found in, huh?
No, none of this, I guess, is natural.
Mm.
And I can't explain it. I wouldn't even know where to begin to explain what's going on. And at this point, I don't even care if people think I'm crazy or not. I'm just too terrified to care.
That's understood and a given in a lot of people's cases. Stan Romanek is our guest. Remarkable story, amazing things that have been going on around him in the last couple of years. Joining us on the line is John here in Toronto. John, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Errol. Stan, one question. When you underwent the hypnotic regression, I'd like for you to detail what you experienced or what you recalled.
You know, it's amazing how the brain works. It's not like I was asleep and I was abducted while I was asleep. It actually was what I call a waking abduction. It's just I was in so much shock, my brain tried to make sense of it. So I talked myself into thinking it was probably a dream. What I remember happening is, believe it or not, there really was a knock at the door at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was pretty upset, thinking, who the hell is going to, you know, try to wake us up and knock at the door? Maybe somebody's drunk. I didn't know. When I saw three people standing there, and that's what I thought it was at first, just three people standing there, I thought, what in the world? Are they lost? And my sister started letting them in. I was thinking, these people could rob us. Why are you letting in? I started kind of screaming at my sister, don't let these people in. And then I noticed that I thought they were wearing costumes. They had light blue, kind of baby blue outfits on. The female had kind of a long gown, kind of jumpsuit, and the males had just jumpsuits on. They had big heads, but they didn't have, you know, like people kind of relate to the gray aliens with the black eyes and the big heads. Well, they didn't have black eyes. They had really big slanted eyes, but they were actually a very, very deep blue. And it looked like they had hair, but the hair was almost like cancer patients. It was kind of real sparse and very thin and very white. And what I remember is the female came up to me, and I was, at this point, I realized that I didn't think it was a mask. I was pretty concerned because it was, man, they went to a lot of expense if they were, you know, dressed up in costumes because it was very realistic. And she grabbed me, and when she grabbed me, I had an explosion of thought in my head. And that's the only way I can explain it. And this thought was, it's going to be okay. I didn't think it was going to be okay. In any case, they kind of hustled me, I guess, to the balcony. And it's like I just decided to go with them. I can't explain why. And I was getting rather upset. And I remember grabbing one of the males that I was literally going to throw him off the balcony. And then I woke up somewhere else. In a room with no corners. Everything was round. Light coming from everywhere. It was like light was being admitted from the walls. I was literally stuck to a wall. Not glued, but like somebody had turned on the gravity for this wall. I could move my hands, I could move my feet, I could move my head, but I couldn't move anything else. And then I remember that they did something, and they kind of pulled me forward. I wasn't stuck to the wall anymore, but I had things around my wrists with more wires that went to the wall. And they did whatever kind of experiments that they did, and then I remember sitting on this, like, rounded kind of table thing in the middle of wherever I was, and the female sat there and looked at me and with her head kind of cocked, and all of a sudden this explosion of thought went into my head and pretty much knocked me over, and then she kind of stepped back as if to say, okay, we'll try this again because you're too stupid to understand what I'm trying to get to you. And let me tell you, that's very humbling, because if what happened to me is real, and I'm 100% sure that what happened to me happened, then I don't understand why they'd be even remotely interested in us, because they are so much more advanced than we are. It's unbelievable. Just from what I experienced, this bizarre incident, I don't understand it. And then the next thing I knew, after this kind of communication with the symbols and all that other stuff, I woke up. I was in my bed, and I woke up that morning.
Hmm. That's amazing.
John, thank you for your call, and a good question. It took us into a whole area that we might not have gotten to if you hadn't called us tonight. Thanks.
Thanks, Errol. Bye-bye.
Good night, John.
One of the things that I was really impressed with about this case, how well it's chronicled on the website. You don't usually see a case such as this where you've got literally all the evidence laid out so well. And I'm just wondering, how did you put it all together in such a way? And how much time did it take to put it all together into such a great format?
Well, that website isn't my website. That's done by a person that I met when this all kind of started. He was interested in this. His name is Neil Slade. He has his own website, and those pages are actually on his website. All the proof and everything that's put together have been documented by other people, have been documented by myself, and everything's kind of been chronicled at that website. Just by coincidence, that website seems to be the website to find out about my experiences. And it just seems to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and MUFON is kind of helping out, and everybody's cooperating. I guess this is a very important case, and a lot of people think this is a smoking gun kind of thing, and they want to make sure it's continuing to be updated periodically.
You certainly have a lot of the leading lights in the field involved in your case, and it's not just the abduction specialists, it's the physical trace people and the scientists and the leading investigative organization in the field, the Mutual UFO Network, and John Schussler, who heads it up now after Walt Andrus retired, and George Zeiler, and the two leading photo analysts, Maccabee and Sanyo. You got a whole slew of people involved with you. Let me bring a caller in here on the 1-800-561-CFRB line. This is Charlie up there in Barrie. Charlie, good evening and welcome to Strange Days Indeed.
Yes, I'd like to ask Stan, are you a Christian?
Actually, I am.
And have you prayed about this? Because it sounds like to me that when you talk about it, you've been under a great amount of stress over it.
I have indeed. And this whole thing amazes me. I thought for sure when this all started happening that, great, I'm going to be involved with a bunch of nutcases and nobody's going to understand my situation. And in fact, it's actually been quite the opposite. I'm finding out that a lot of people that have experienced stuff like I've experienced are absolutely normal. In fact, more normal than normal people. And most of them are not the kind of backwards hillbilly types you think you'd encounter. And in fact, a lot of Christians will tell you they've seen UFOs, and they believe in UFOs, and that this is just another part of God's mystery. Yeah, believe me, we do a lot of praying.
Why I ask this is because my wife, she's been having a lot of nightmares and stuff like that, and a lot of nightmares disappeared. And she, first of all, she had to understand exactly what was going on. And what I'm talking about is in the satanic world, okay, what Satan does in many forms. I don't doubt at all what you saw was physical and what was there. It was probably actually there. But why it's appearing revolving around your life, it's hard to exactly say.
See, I know what point you're getting to, and trust me, I thought that at first too. But I also know there's a lot of things that man can't explain when it comes to what's really out in space. They're finding out that there's a lot more worlds out there than we know. There's a lot more stars out there than we ever estimated. And I've kind of gone through this firsthand. And I can tell you that there doesn't really seem to be any correlation with anything satanic. You know, as terrifying as it is, I got to tell you, they've never hurt me. They've never done anything real aggressive. The only thing that happened, and this is one thing I forgot I didn't talk about because I haven't had a chance, when I woke up outside, I found out the next day that I actually had a broken rib. Pain in my side was.
And so they've done nothing to hurt you?
As far as I know, I don't know what happened that night. Can't even tell you if it was anything.
Charlie, I want to thank you for your call, sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
Good night, Charlie.
Good night.
The marks on your body, the wounds on your back, on your hands, they didn't cause you pain.
They didn't. And that's the scary part. To me, that I think upsets me more than anything because they were ghastly. They were open, deep, scooping, oozing wounds. They weren't even blood. It was just some kind of oozing something or other. And the sores around my wrist. I'm sitting there poking at them with my finger and poking at them with toothpicks and whatever else I can, trying to figure out why they don't hurt.
Well, it sort of raises the question of if they would do these things to you, why would they use any sort of chemical or something on you that would make them not hurt? Why would they bother if they were trying to cause you pain?
I look at it this way. When we go out and we tag animals, because we're studying the migration of caribou or of bighorn sheep or of elk, what do? We tag them, we give them something to calm them down, we take measurements, we take blood. Maybe that's what happened. I'm not sure.
We don't ask their permission.
Yeah, and I can't tell you, and maybe that's what's going on here. I think there's a reason for what's going on. In fact, I know in my heart that something bigger is going to happen with us as humans collectively. And I think that if anybody with any sense will tell you, it's almost everybody's waiting for the other shoe to drop. Something's going to happen. Everybody can feel it, including me. And I think that's what this is all about. I think this is part of that bigger picture.
Yep. Have you been able to make any sort of conclusions, come to any conclusions about what's happened to you? Are you still completely in the dark about everything that's happened?
No, there's some conclusions. I think with everything that's happened, I think they're getting us ready for something. And that's, you know, that could just be my own personal opinion. But you talk to any of the researchers, any of the scientists, anybody, you know, everybody knows that something's going to happen. Everybody can feel it.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about that in the last 6-8 months. As you said, people are waiting for the other shoe to drop. So all of this stuff has now stopped happening to you, Stan?
No.
No.
No, it's just good. I mean, just even a few weeks ago, we had what I call a flyby. You know, my wife came running in. She's talking on the phone with one of our friends. Two things just flew right over us. No sound, no nothing. We just kind of disappeared. I actually was out the other day and was testing out. I had a new kind of digital camera that I was trying out. I was taking pictures of the, you know, the rainbow around the moon. It was kind of cloudy, and you could see this pretty rainbow around the moon, and there was this big thing up by the moon. And you know what? I've got a theory that if people just keep looking up, they'll eventually see something, because there's a lot of stuff up there.
There certainly is. We only touch on a tiny fraction of the UFO reports, the sighting reports, and the abduction reports on this program. But there are literally hundreds of events going on out there every week from all over the world. And we can't possibly get into every single one of them. I guess the frustration for you and for everybody else is that the lab work that needs to be done on your case, it costs a lot of money. And who do you go to get funding for that? And the Mutual UFO Network, the Fund for UFO Research, various organizations, they don't have the money. Well, they have a little bit of money. You know, they can spend a few hundred dollars. But beyond that, there just isn't the funding to get into this in any sort of depth.
And that's true. But, you know, I got to give credit where credit's due. You know, the people like Nancy Talbot and George Zeiler and MUFON and John Schuessler and Deborah Lindemann and Dr. Jack Cashin. Everybody else that's involved, they don't get paid for this. They just kind of do it because out of the kindness of their heart, and you know, they want to get to the truth like everybody else.
Well, exactly. And none of us really get paid for it. And those that do make a few dollars, it's literally only a few dollars. And it's because the Nancy Talbots and the Jeff Sanios and the Bruce Maccabees and the Jack Cashers have been working in a field that they can contribute their knowledge and their expertise into this one. And what various broadcasters are doing, a lot of us, we were broadcasters first and got interested and involved in this field. And we contribute what we can. But geez, wouldn't it be nice to have some sort of scientifically funded organization take a look at this?
Well, you know, when the governments of the world stop working against us, I think, you know, and that's the thing. That's one of the things that I think is going to happen really soon. That's the thing that I think the other shoe's going to drop. I think there's going to be some kind of major admittance by the government or some kind of major contact that's going to happen. Because, you know, we're due for an evolutionary jump here, and I think that might be part of it. That's just my own opinion, of
course.
The scariest part of all of this for me and my family and for anybody that's going through this, not only are we afraid of ridicule, at this point we kind of don't care because we're just scared in general, but whatever these things are, there's no protection from anything that has happened to us. You can't go to the local police station and say, hey, look, can you stop these things from taking us out of our beds at night? Can you stop these things from stalking us or from beaming our cars just out of nowhere? Because nobody can do anything about it.
Yeah.
There's not a thing anybody can do, and that's the most terrible. You know, people could disappear, and there's nothing anybody can do.
And as many people have said on this program, you know, there have been people hung on less circumstantial evidence than we keep presenting here week after week after week. We appreciate your time tonight. We empathize and we sympathize with your situation and wish we could do something about it to get it to stop for you or to help you reach some sort of understanding about what and why these things are happening to you.
And the understanding would definitely be nice.
I hope you have closure on it one day. I really do, and really soon.
Yeah.
Would you keep in touch with us and update us periodically?
You bet. I love your message board that you have, so I'll kind of email you, and you'll see me on the message board every once in a while.
On the UFO updates list, yeah, thank you, Stan. And it's good to have your contribution there, too. It's expanded, I think, a few people's horizons. And not a lot of argument about it or discussion. It's like, ooh, and it shuts the skeptics up quite nicely.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
And thank you for being on the program. And would like to have you back if you have more things to tell us.
Oh, you bet.
Okay, Stan.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Good night.
Very interesting stuff.
Isn't it, though? And I know that you're an honest skeptic. You're a middle-of-the-road kind of guy about all of this. How did you feel about this one?
Well, you know, I've always said that my main problem is usually people have got these extraordinary tales, but they never really have very much to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
And when you more or less told me what we would be talking about this week and gave me the link to the website, I was very impressed, because it was basically what I've always been looking for, I've always hoped to find when people have got these experiences. I want to see video, I want to see the science, I want to see the facts of this case, and it was all there.
It's probably one of the most remarkable cases.
Oh, yeah, one of the most remarkable cases, and it's probably one of the most well-documented cases. Mm-hmm. It's a textbook example. Other cases could totally follow that and say this is the way it should be done.
And your actual psychopians, it's like, here, guys, go check this out.
Oh, definitely.
The Committee for the Study of Claims of the Scientific Study of the whatever the hell the name is.
There's just too many of those alphabet groups out there.
Which they ain't.
No, far from it.
I read the site, and it's quite extensive. I mean, there are several dozen pages there.
That was just the tip of what he told us.
And the images. And it's like, my, what is going on? You know,
well, to be centered on one person, too, you'd sort of wonder that it's something is clearly happening to him. It's just a matter of, first of all, what, and then why him? Why is it centered around this one person?
And what were those equations that Jack Kasher and Hal Puthoff got into there?
Mm-hmm.
They resonate with those guys, the equations.
Oh, yeah.
So what is it that they mean, or are they not putting it out?
Well, I'm hoping that maybe there'll be some sort of report on this. I was very curious to try and get a hold of the actual videotape. We've got the stills on the site, but I'd like to see the copies of the videos. I'd like to see some sort of collection of this case. Like, the website is great, but I think something that could be packaged and sort of shown to other people and say, this is...
Oh, I'm sure
this
it will
is the
be.
Case.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, that would make a great DVD, wouldn't it?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. And that was the one thing that really I liked about just from his character. He seems very sincere, which granted is not directly evident, but the fact that he hasn't come right out with this claim to try and make money from it. You could tell this is a person who's been suffering with this for some time and just wants to understand.
Yeah, we've got just a couple of minutes left. Henry, are you there?
Guys.
What do you think, Henry?
First of all, the guy who just signed off said we're in store for some kind of great leap forward.
Have you been listening the whole evening?
Well, most of it, yeah.
Well, most of it. Henry.
I've heard other abductees and people say, oh, you know, these aliens preparing us for some great leap forward. This is nonsense. They just want to abduct us, do experiments. To assume that there's some kind of great kind of transcendental revelation coming is to assume that these aliens are... benevolent.
Well, let's not lump them all together, because there appear to be both benevolent and nasty guys out there.
Malevolent.
Malevolent was the word I was looking for.
Yeah,
thank
but
you.
They may just carry on as they are now, abducting people, mutilating cattle, and perhaps doing crop circles. You know, I'm sorry, I just don't share this optimistic Star Trek.
They got some very dangerous and very unhealthy habits and hobbies, that's for certain.
I don't think that that he was particularly touting the fact that these beings that he was interacting with are benign. He said he wasn't hurt by them, but the pictures belie that.
Well, he's certainly saying that he's not enjoying the experiences.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I think, he's very objective about this experience, and I think that was part of the reason why he sounds... so sincere is the fact that he's not even saying that they're alien. He's saying that these are just some sort of entities. He doesn't know what they are. He doesn't know what the experience is. And it's just very, very strange.
Yeah.
One more point, if I may.
Henry, you've got about 10 seconds.
Okay. From the Earth part of the spectrum, I don't think Bernstein and Woodward are going to do investigations into UFOs unless you guys keep pressing them. That's what we need, some kind of major reporters to do a real in-depth study. You know, this website and internet stuff, you know, a lot of it's just garbage, and people really don't take it seriously. Okay?
Okay, Henry.
All right.
We need to bail. Thanks for your call. Always good to hear from you, Henry. Good night, Henry. Ian Rogers, Bobby Rowley.
Good night.
Scott from Brampton. Dean Gwilandi and Chris Ball out there in the control room. Thanks to Stan Romanek, Dave Furlott, and Brian Vike. Good night.
That's this week's edition of Strange Days Indeed, hosted and produced by Errol Bruce Knapp.